From 1 Corinthians 12, we'll be reading verses 12 through 27. Verses 12 through 27. And it's one of the passages that Paul talks about the body of Christ and how the body of Christ works. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 12. This is God's word for us this evening. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. Though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is made up of one part, is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And that's the reading of God's word for this evening. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it seems like society today has a real strong fixation on the body, the human body. And one of the reasons why I say that is that if you watch even 1 hour of television in the evening, you'll probably see several commercials that offer us different kinds of cosmetics or drugs. And what these companies are trying to do is sell us things that will try to make us look good and make us feel good. We seem to spend a lot of time and a lot of money in keeping our bodies healthy, and not just healthy, but keeping them looking good as well. And certainly I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing that, that we shouldn't be taking care of our bodies, because as the Bible tells us, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to keep our bodies in good health. But the reason why I say that is because, in contrast, it seems like we tend to emphasize much less the health of the most important body in the world, and that is the body of Christ, the church. Now, in the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament refer to the community or the body of believers as the body of Christ. It's over 30 times that we see that. And it gives us another image of how we are to relate to each other and how we are to relate to Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago maybe, when I was here, we talked about abiding in Christ, looking at John chapter 15, and how we need to be connected to Jesus, and that we need to be a part of him. And that gave us one picture of, you might say, how we are to be individually connected to Jesus Christ. And the image of the body of Christ tells us how we are to be connected as a body, as a community of believers. And what I'd like to do this evening is look at three things that this image explains to us, or helps us to understand better how we are to relate to God. One is the head and the body connection. The second is what I call head on. And the third is what I call heads up. The head and body connection, head on and heads up. Let's see what God has to say to us through this image this evening. First of all, head and body connection. Now, when you or I look at someone, we don't differentiate between the head and the body. You don't look at me and say, oh, there's Dykeson's arm or there's Dykeson's feet. No, there's Dykeson. There's John Dykeson. And I look at you as well. We don't tend to differentiate it. The body, the head and the body are one. They share the same breath. They share the same blood. They share the same life. And Paul is saying here that the church and Christ are like that, that we are one and that Christ is the head. In Colossians 1, verse 18, it says that Christ is the head of the body, the church. And in Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, we read, and God placed all things under his, that is, Jesus' feet, and appointed him head over everything for the church, which is his body. Well, what does this image tell us? What can we learn from this image of Jesus being the head and us being the body? Well, one thing we can learn in this head-body connection is that it's a very intimate relationship. You know, in other parts of the Bible, that the relationship between God and the church, or God and believers, is like the relationship between a husband and a wife. And certainly that's an intimate relationship. You might say that the hearts of the husband and wife kind of beat together. But when you look at us as being the body of Christ, it's even more intimate than that, because the head and the body are one. That the head and the body are one. And because of that, it helps us to understand the relationship between the head, Christ, and his body, the church. And the impact of one against the other. Now, first of all, we see that Christ works through his body, the church. You know, when one person is hurting, we all hurt. As it says here in 1 Corinthians 12. But also, as we hurt, Christ uses each of the rest of the body to help comfort the rest of the body. As the Lindemolders are hurting because of a death, a tragic death in the family, we help as the body of Christ to comfort them, to pray for them, to support them. And Christ often does that with hurting members. Let me give you an example. A number of years ago, when our kids were growing up, our oldest son was the one that gave us the hardest time of all five kids that we have. And my wife was wondering, is he going in the right direction? Where is his life really heading? And she prayed about that. And one Sunday after church, she says to me, you know, so-and-so came up to me and commented how much she appreciated how much our son was being a positive influence on her son. And she said, and she told me that she had prayed that God would let her know, how is he doing? And that God answered her prayer that way. It's like God as the head said, okay, I have a need here over in this area of the body. I'm going to send another person of the body to reinforce them, to talk to them. I've heard of people who said, you know, I came to church one Sunday morning and I just, I was really struggling. And somebody gave me a hug and said, you know, you look like you need a hug today. That's the type of thing that the body does to other members of the body. And you know, it's not just Christ, the head, impacting the body, but the body impacting Christ as well. Now, give me another example. Let's say that you are you're on your feet all day. You're working on your feet all day, and you get home, and your feet are just so tired. And you get a nice warm pan of water, maybe with some type of chemical in it or whatever, and you sit in your easy chair and you take your shoes and socks off and you put your feet in that pan of water and just, it feels so good. Now, is it just your feet that feel good? No, you feel good. Your head feels good. It's not just your feet that's impacted. Your head, your whole body is impacted as well. And the same is true with the church. When we shall care for the church, when we nurture the church, Christ is cared for as well. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 25, verses 35 through 36 and verse 40. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then he says, "On that day, the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" So when we're praying for the Lindemolders, when we're providing maybe meals for them or we're visiting them, we're not only doing that for the Lindemolders, we're doing that for Christ. And Paul encourages us to do that in Galatians 6, verse 10. He says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those belonging to the family of believers." And Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So you see, as we do good to the members of the body, just like if we do good to parts of our body, we do good to the head, to Jesus Christ. But the opposite is true as well. Let me give you another example. If a dog comes up to you and bites you on the leg, you look at your leg and say, "Wow, that must hurt," you know? No, you hurt. Your head hurts, not just your leg. The same is true with the body of Christ. When we hurt the body, we hurt the head. Think about Saul. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, he sees this light. And he says, and Jesus says to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." You know, he didn't say, "I am the church you are persecuting," which is what Saul was doing. Saul was persecuting the body of Christ, and by doing so, he was persecuting Christ himself. I don't know about you, but that's a sobering thought. It's a frightening thought. You know, if I ask you to raise your hands if any of you have ever tried to hurt God, maybe none of you would raise your hands. But if I ask you, you know, was there ever once, even one time, that you tried or that you hurt somebody in church, I would imagine that we would all raise our hands. And yet, the fact that we hurt the body, we hurt the head, Jesus Christ. You know, I've had instances serving on council, being member of a church, where I've hurt other members of the body. And I've had to apologize in council because I hurt members of the body. And, you know, I never really realized until I got into this passage here that when I did that, I not only hurt the body of Christ, but I hurt Christ himself. And you know what? From now on, before I say something, before I do something like that, I'm going to remember that, you know, I'm just not hurting a member of the church. I'm hurting the body of Christ. I'm hurting Christ himself. I need to be careful about that, because we're told in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12 by Paul, when you sin against your brothers, you sin against Christ. So one of the things that we learn by this image of being the body and Christ being the head is that that's an intimate relationship between the church and Christ. And when we nurture the church, when we care for the church and members of the church, we're caring for Christ himself. And on the other hand, when we are hurting the church, we're hurting Christ. And we're called And that doesn't say that we can't disagree. Paul says here that the body is made up of different parts, of different members. And we're all going to have different opinions. But we need to express those in love. In fact, in the very next chapter, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul speaks about the need for love. And he says that, you know, unlike our opinion, sometimes when we express them, that they don't come out with love, but we need to speak in love and act in love to each other. Well, that's one thing we learn, that head and body connection, and the fact that what we do to the church, we do to the head of the church, Jesus Christ. The second thing is what I call head on. Now, the important thing here is that just as I can't live without my head, we cannot live without the body. Now, I can live with a broken arm. It may slow me down a little bit. I can even live if they amputate my arm. I can live if they amputate one of my legs. I can live if they were to amputate both my hands and both my feet. Jorge had that happen to him when he was a little baby. But I can't live without my head. And we can't live without Jesus Christ either. In fact, in John 15, verse 5, where Jesus talks about the image of the vine and the branches, he says there that apart from me, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. There's an equation that actually, it's the name of the book that I read not too long ago called Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And if you subtract Jesus, so to speak, from each side of the equation, you get everything minus Jesus equals nothing. We can do nothing without Jesus. And sometimes, you know, in our physical bodies, we may have some type of a virus or something that may, let's say, compromise that connection, so to speak, between the head and the body. And there are spiritual viruses, you might say, that can compromise that as well. Things like pride and bitterness and envy and the desire for power or greed. All those things, you might say, are viruses that can get into the church and that can almost paralyze the church. Even though we still have the head, we may be paralyzed from the neck down. And Paul talks about love in the next chapter when he says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Christ as the head, you might look at it as like a control center. United Water, where I work part-time now, has a 200 million gallon a day water treatment plant in Haworth in Bergen County. And downstairs in that plant, is they have a control room. And there's monitors in there, there's computers in there, and from that control room, they can monitor everything that's going on, not only in the treatment plant there, but in the whole distribution system throughout most of Bergen County and Hudson County. And they can actually control what's going on in the plant and what's going on out in the distribution system. They can turn on pumps on and off and adjust treatment chemicals and things like that. But if you knock out the power that goes to that control room, you could knock out the plant and knock out the distribution system, or at least create a lot of chaos in the distribution system. And as our head, Christ is like that control center, and we need to be tightly, firmly connected to the head in order that we are acting, that we are operating properly as well. So the other thing that this image gives us of the body of Christ is that Christ is totally, that we are totally dependent on Christ, that we need the head. The final thing that I want to look at is I call heads up. And this is where we need to understand that Christ is number one in the church. You know, it's like when you get a package. that maybe stamped on the top of the package says this side up. And if you were to turn that package upside down, you may break some parts in that package. And certainly our bodies are designed to stand up, to stand on our feet. If we were to try and stand on our heads, maybe some of us can do that. Probably most of us can't. Those of us who can probably couldn't do that for very long. We'd probably teeter and totter and eventually fall over. And the picture that we have here is that we need to keep the head on top, that Christ is number one. In Colossians 1, verses 17 and 18, we read, "He that is Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Christ is preeminent. Christ is number one. Christ is before any program, any personality, any politics. Christ is before anything in the church. And when we get that right, things will go right in the church. When we try to stand on our heads, so to speak, in the church, there'll be chaos and we'll just fall over. And when we lift our heads high, so to speak, we are giving glory to the head. We are giving glory to Christ, because all glory belongs to him, not to the body or any one part of the body. The glory belongs to the head. And to recognize that Jesus Christ is number one in the church means that we follow him. It means that we obey him. Just like our bodies, my hand obeys what my head is telling my hand to do. If my one hand tells the other to scratch this arm, it does it. Same thing is true in the church. We are to follow Jesus Christ. We are to do what he tells us to do. We are to be obedient to his will. The church is doing what it's supposed to do when it stands erect, so to speak, with the head up. So there's the body and the head connection. There's the importance of being connected to the head. And there's the importance of the head being number one, being preeminent. What does that all mean for us? Well, a couple weeks ago when we looked at the image of the vine and the branches, it told us that we as individuals and as a church, but more so as individuals, need to be connected to Jesus Christ. Because the only way that we'll be connected to Jesus Christ is the way that we can bear fruit. And that's what God made us to do. And that's to God's glory. This image that we're looking at this evening tells us how we are to act as a community in this world and how we relate to each other and to Christ. You might break up the word community into commune and unity, how we are to dwell in unity as a church. Now, C.S. Lewis made this comment about the church. "The church is not a human society of people united by their natural affinities, but the body of Christ, in which all members, however different, must share the common life, complementing and helping one another precisely by their differences." Just as Paul talks about the differences in the body, there are differences in the body of Christ as well. But as C.S. Lewis so aptly puts it here, as we are complementing and helping one another precisely by our differences. Well, why is it important that we have a healthy body as a church? Well, listen to what Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 19. He's talking about losing connection to the head. He says he has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. So in other words, we need to be connected to the head in order to be held together, number one, and to grow. And so the opposite is true, is that if we are not connected to the head, if we're not have that firm connection, that number one is we're going to fall apart, so to speak, and we're not going to grow. We're not going to be a healthy church. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a healthy church so that we can bear fruit for Jesus Christ. And this is all to the glory of God. You know, sometimes when we put vision statements together, let's say about the church, or maybe when we have a vision of the church as well, we like to think of the church as being, you know, this building full of people. And our vision might be that the worship service would be packed morning and evening. And, you know, I always used to think the same thing, that, boy, you know, it's really neat to worship together, to have everybody together singing and glorifying God. But, you know, that's not necessarily a healthy church. You know what I think really should be the vision of the church? And I'm talking about not just the church here, but the church worldwide. I think the vision of the church really ought to be that we are truly being the body of Christ. Living connected to the head, living giving Christ preeminence, and living, loving, and caring for each other as a church. I truly believe that being the body of Christ is key to being salt and light in this world. And maybe that's one of the problems that we've had here in the United States. Maybe we're not really living as a church, as the body of Christ. Think about that. Think about that for your own life. Think about that for the life of the church here. Think about it for the life of the church in America. If we want to have revival in America, in the church, I believe it's totally essential that we need to be living as Christ's body here in the United States. Because that's the only way that God is going to really use us for his purposes. And that we're going to be a healthy church, and a healthy church will be a growing church. I think that the time is now for us and the church in America to be concerned not just for our physical bodies, but to be really concerned about our church, about the body of Christ, and that we really need to be truly being the body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a tough image. It's a tough image because we don't always act like the body of Christ. Not just in one church, but in the church in general, throughout our country and throughout the world. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for times maybe when we have hurt your body and we didn't realize that we were really hurting you. Lord, help us to care for you as we care for each other and fellow believers. And Father, help us to realize how important it is that we be firmly connected to you, that you're the one that gives us life, that you're the one that is number one in our church. And help us to also have you as our head being preeminent, being supreme, that you are above anyone or anything in the church. Lord, help us not only to see this image, but help us to live it out. Help us, Lord, here at Pumpkin Plains and at Unity Church, at Preakness Valley, Lord, wherever it might be, help us to be truly the body of Christ. And help us throughout this country, help us, Lord, to be the body of Christ. And Lord, as pastors get together, as we prayed about before this week in Texas, Lord, may one of the things that they may be talking about is being the body of Christ, that working together, people would see you and that you would look down on us and be pleased with how we are living. Lord, help us to truly be your body. In Jesus' name, amen.